It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hi, welcome to Alaska Realty Today. I'm Lisa Maynard.
And I'm Kirk Maynard.
And today we have, surprise, a special guest in the studio.
Who dat?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. It's been so long.
It's no longer a surprise.
We'll keep saying it, though. It's more fun that way.
That makes you feel better.
I know. Thank you.
Today we're going to continue. We ran out of time last week talking about some of those common real estate myths that are out there, and we're doing our job trying to debunk a few out of there and take the mystery out of some of the things you hear online and from other people in the community.
Yeah, I think it's so important. I think it turns you away from real estate. It turns you away from purchasing houses. You get a lot of people, even when I get leads or I'm talking to people that are looking, they're, you know, I'll say like, what's going on? Or, you know, what are you looking for? And they'll think, well, I don't know about this, or, specifically talking about like putting 20% down. I get asked that all the time. Well, I have to have 20% down cash, or I have to. So like they look at the price of the house, easily you can do 20%. You're thinking I need 40,000, 60,000, 80,000 in cash. And that's so wrong. Yeah.
There's so many options out there. I mean, there is traditional. If you have cash and you want to put it down,
sure,
that is awesome, but that is not the only way you can attain a property.
And it's okay if you listen to Dave Ramsey. We listen to Dave Ramsey,
right?
and he preaches, you know, at least 20% down.
He's actually changed that a little bit. He'll let you come away off of the 20% down. He still holds to the 25% of your take-home pay as your home payment.
So, yeah, one on the spectrum is paying cash. It'd be great if you could just walk in, but not every, you know, first-time home buyer can, you know, put $300,000 down on a house. So it's
sure.
But there's $0 options, which we try to avoid if we can. But there's a lot of VA buyers out there, a lot of zero down. There's a lot of military that might have relocated, yep. And that's a lot of out of pocket, and they want to come up and buy a house, and zero down sometimes is the way to go. But yeah, you try to put down as much as you can, but you don't have to, it doesn't have to be 20%.
Right.
So conventional loans are 20% down, usually 20% down. You avoid private mortgage insurance, so that's, you know, can save you $100-$400 a month. So might be worth it to do the math and see if you can get to that 20%. But if not, I mean, most people back pre-COVID, I mean, everybody was doing FHA, and that's a lot of people are doing FHA, and it's 3.5% down. It was a normal loan program. It continues to be a normal loan program.
Right.
But, you know, 5% will get you into conventional, and 20% will get you into, you know, a no mortgage insurance program. So, and there's tons of programs out there. We saw some 2.5% programs. I already mentioned the 0% VA. So the truth is, you don't have to put 20% down to buy a house.
Yeah. And I think what's most important, talk to your lender.
Yes.
Talk to a lender.
Well, and just, I mean, we over the weekend, we were writing an offer, and I got caught off a low guard because it was a bundled loan offer, and I wasn't as familiar with some of the new funding through Alaska Housing and so forth. Or I shouldn't say new, I should say haven't seen in a while, so I had to re-educate myself about it because it caught me off guard. So we're just seeing a lot of different things, and I think that's to be expected with the interest rates going up.
You know, when our buyers ask me how much they should put down, I say everything. Just put as much down as you can, and that's the truth. If you have 40%, put 40% down. If you have 5%, put 5% down. But again, the truth is you don't have to have 20% down to buy a house.
Yep.
And then this is another one that sort of wraps into the same concept. Whether or not the down payment is your only upfront cost when purchasing a home, which means any cost you'll incur prior to closing and recording on your property.
Yeah, and it's important to get with a real estate professional or a lender or both and have them go through what your out-of-pocket costs are, because it'd be nice if you could just buy a house and it didn't cost you anything to do it, but there is. So there's closing costs and there's prepaid expenses, and they're two different sections, two different items. Your closing costs are all the costs associated usually with doing the loan.
Right.
And I don't have a spreadsheet in front of me with all those, but there's, I'll call it, you know, $3,000 to $7,000 worth of closing costs. And then you have prepaid items, money that you own that'll come back to you at some point. But that's interest that you prepay. If you close on the 15th of the month, you'll pay the rest of the interest for the rest of that month. For, let's say, the month of October, you have no payment in November, and then December will be your first payment because mortgages in arrears. You'll also have your 6 months worth of property taxes, which they'll usually collect, and then 14 months worth of homeowners insurance. So that's your stuff. There's escrow reserves, but it is out-of-pocket costs. Yep. You'll get them back when you sell your house.
And also you have to remember inspections. A lot of people will forget inspections because those are payable due upon the surface.
Yes. And so in the closing costs, when I sit down with a buyer, I do add in, to Lisa's point, inspections. It's not your typical banking closing cost, but it is an out-of-pocket cost during the transaction. It's a $650 number, so that's a significant amount when you're looking at everything you need to throw at it. So make sure you get with your lender, get your real estate professional, know all the closing costs that you need to peel out so there's no surprises. And if you're not ready, you're not ready, then don't go buy a house. Save up for a little bit, wait, and then until you're in a comfortable position.
Yeah, you always want to be – you don't want to go into the real estate transaction nervous because it's already going to be a lot, and to already be worried, it's maybe not quite time to buy. You're already sort of cringing before you even look at the house or get pre-approvals.
Right.
And closing – we have closing costs that are, I guess, common and traditional in our market, but they're negotiable. And so – you know, we were coming off a heavy seller's market where we've had buyers paying the seller's closing costs. And in buyer's markets, it's common for a buyer or seller to pay the buyer's closing costs. In a balanced market, it's a little closer to normal. But, you know, right now, buyers are paying buyer's closing costs, sellers are paying sellers, but we're still competing. We're just in a competing offer situation. Everything's counting, including escalating clauses, paying for fuel. It just there's a lot of competing offers still out there. So that has not gone away. But typically, buyers are paying buyer's side, sellers are paying seller's side.
Yes, and we've talked about, I think, in past shows, fuel, and especially I know fuel has just gone down a little bit, and I think it came down a couple cents. And I only say this because we just bought fuel, and I think that's as soon as you buy fuel comes down just a little bit.
Just
to teach you a little bit of a lesson, and then when you're like, oh, I need to go buy it, it's back up again. You know, but I think that's something you have to be prepared for, is that cost, is that it can be thousands of dollars.
When you have a thousand gallon fuel tank, I mean, that can add up very quickly, especially if they topped it off to the top. That's a considerable
amount. Some of them are on a prepaid or a pre-fill, you know, rotation because they're saving money and it's not something that they can always think about. So you need to be prepared for that cost, and especially if you're going to compete for fuel, and add that into the, so we always, you know, if we're going to add fuel into the cost, we try to take it at, you know, $4 and something cents a gallon.
Right.
So we're estimating high just in case. So it's just something to think about when you are thinking about those costs, because fuel can hit you really hard, especially as we go into the winter months.
$1,000 a gallon, $6 a gallon, there's $6,000. I learned that lesson my first year. And
yeah, oops. It was our first year at our new house with our 1,000 gallon tank.
No, first year as a realtor, I didn't know. I wasn't educated. I didn't know. And it was costly for my buyers. They're like, what do you mean I have to pay another $5,000 out of, or $3,000, whatever it was? But it was a surprise.
Right.
And they shouldn't have been surprised. So
I mean, it's something when my buyers are like, we'll pay for fuel. I'm like, okay, well, let's just talk about quickly. Let's look at the amount of fuel. Yeah, I said, it's easy to say that when we're getting excited about bidding and I want to, you know, put the offer in and make it good. But when we're looking at a 500 or 1,000 gallon tank and we're thinking about, you know, sometimes they're thinking, I just went to the gas pump and paid $2 because I used my fuel points and I did this. So when you start adding all that up, I mean, not that we've paid $2 in a long time, but you just don't think about the cost of that until somebody gives you a reality check.
Yes.
So it's
true,
just
something
to think about. All right.
Our next one we touched about a little bit on last week, but we probably could just touch a little deeper.
Did we?
Yeah.
Really quick.
Yes.
Because will it hurt your credit score if you get a pre-approval, which means you're getting a credit inquiry on your credit through the credit bureau? Easy answer, no. It's a soft hit. It will not affect your credit. And when we didn't talk about a soft hit, just basically means that they don't pull absolutely everything. It's a quick pull. And if you do a hard hit where they're pulling absolutely everything, it can actually decrease your credit score by 1 to 2 points.
Right.
But that is not what a mortgage application is looked at as far as the credit bureau. So it's not going to ding you if you get a pre-approval when they pull your quick credit.
Yeah, in 20 years of doing this, I've never heard of any lender or anybody just coming back and saying, I wish I hadn't went to three different places to look at loans because it killed my credit and I couldn't buy a house. It's just, it doesn't happen. It's never happened.
Home loans are sort of getting grouped in with all the other types of consumer credit. Insurance, and they're very separate entities and viewed differently.
Not insurance, from medical, I mean.
Credit bureau views home mortgage way different than other consumer credit.
We touched upon this because you said that all of your buyers are pre-approved.
Yeah.
And I laughed and said, most of mine are not coming to me pre-approved. And so we are losing out on houses that they're falling in love with because they're hesitating to go get pre-approved because they're thinking they're not going to find something. And 9 out of 10 times we are finding something and they're thinking their credit's going to get hit, their credit score is going to take a hit. And I was saying, get rid of that. We need to debunk this myth, and we need to get out there, get your pre-approval letter so that we can go find what you want. Because most of the time, if you really are thinking about house hunting and you're really thinking about buying a house, you're going to find something.
And also remember, if anything, any of your circumstances change during your process, like you've gotten a pre-approval and Jamie's showing you houses, if you have any circumstances change, make sure your lender knows. Some of it could be for the better. It might be something that's improving your situation. But the other things, like if you do a slight job change but you're in the same field, you just want to make sure that you and the lender are on the same page and you're not doing anything that affects where you're standing with that loan or what type of loan you can qualify for. So you want to always don't hide facts from your lender.
Yeah.
One quick side note tangent before we get into what I'm going to call the Jamie section next. Make sure you shop for AP, because we're talking about pulling credit, going to 2 or 3 different lenders, seeing who's going to give you the best rate. You can't just look at interest rate. I don't want to say it's meaningless, but the APR shows the true cost of the loan. So it'll show the interest rate plus all the costs shoved in there, and it'll put out a number that's a little bit higher than the interest rate. That will show you the real costs associated with getting the loan. So if you're going to shop lenders, then you need to look at the APR, not the interest rate.
And also, ask your lender for a cost sheet. They should be able to provide you a detailed cost sheet of what your mortgage should cost. Now, we have run into a few lenders where it is like pulling teeth to get it out of them. But really, as someone that's going in for a mortgage, you want to know as much as you possibly can to what the costs are, and line by line being able to see them. And if someone is hesitant to give you that cost sheet, maybe start thinking about maybe it's not the best lender for you.
And think about the fact that you can also change lenders. If you're not feeling comfortable, I've had that in the middle of a sale that we were not getting the right results. And it doesn't happen often, but we were not getting, you know, what that buyer needed from the lender. I had another lender that I just felt, you know, gave fast results. I'd worked with, not to give a shout out, but a shout out to Cornerstone Home Lending. We had worked with them before. They were very quick to respond to this buyer. They did everything for this buyer very quickly. We were able, the customer service was what they needed, especially during an incredibly stressful time. And we were not getting it from the lender they had originally chosen. We switched lenders. It was very easy in the transaction for them. The lender worked with them at Cornerstone to get them, you know, what they needed. We got the pre-approval. We did that all in an addendum so that all of that could happen. That was easy in the transaction. It didn't slow the purchase down at all. But if, you know, I think, yes, APR is super important. Of course, we all want to save money. But if you're not feeling comfortable at a bank with your lender, because, I mean, when we went to first go home shopping, and I've had that a couple times where you're just not feeling it at all, or it's maybe too sales pitched.
Yes.
Where you're just like, you know, it just feels it's over the top, where you're just starting to feel uncomfortable. I was just like, this is not the right lender for us till we found the right lender. So, you know, do shop around till you feel like you're getting what feels good for you.
So that on Saturday, a buyer asked me about, you know, different lenders. And I said, he's asking about interest rates. And that's when I educated him on APR. But in my text to him, I go, more importantly to me is the loan officer themselves, someone I trust with no surprises and very communicative. I don't want to work just somebody who's going to, you know, they're not going to surprise you by saying, oh, I forgot to tell you this, or, hey, we didn't investigate this in the beginning, and now we're 30 days into it, and we need that. That happens all the time. Or and somebody just doesn't communicate, text, call, email, whatever, to both the client and to me. So I was just giving that type of feedback that you were just mentioning to a client on Saturday.
Yes.
I totally agree.
We're going to come take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Each week, people are saving big time with the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer. There's simply no better way to promote your business, as our 50-50 Friday promotion airs every hour, every day for a full week on 8 of Fairbanks' most popular radio stations. There's simply no better way to get the word out about your business. So if you have a grand opening plan, maybe a big sale, special event or promotion, or just want to get the word out, this is the best way to let the public know about it, as your business receives more than $10,000 in promotional value over the course of 1 week, with your ads playing constantly, as well as being promoted live by our talented local radio announcers. And the best part, all that it costs you are some gift certificates. It's 50-50 Friday from the radio station, which is why we have local businesses sign up again and again and again. Call us today and tell us you want to promote your business with 50-50 Friday. It's the best way to let Fairbanks know. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. Period.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., and Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Welcome back, and we're going to continue our discussion about some of those real estate myths we want to debunk out there. And we were just talking about sort of some of the things that can happen on the lender side. And Jamie was mentioning you're not beholden nor stuck with the same lender if something isn't going right or it's not working out for you. And that's when people think if you have your pre-approval, you must stick with these people and can't change forever. That is not true. You are still a consumer, and you can take your business other places, and it doesn't dramatically usually affect the process that you're going through.
Yeah, like Jamie said, just go with who you're comfortable with. I've always told everybody that's what you should do.
Yep.
I don't steer them in any sort of direction. I just have the people that I'm comfortable with that I know that do a really good job that are very communicative. So let's go on to the next section, which if you, it's called the Jamie section.
Yep.
So the myth is there's plenty of time for pre-approval when you find the right house.
Yeah, that should be myth number one. Yes. And I would say to that, no. There is something that happens when you find the right house and then you're like, oh, we'll go get pre-approved. That lender, I genuinely believe, is working as fast and as hard as possible. And they're going as quickly as possible to get everything. And you are stressing out because they're asking you for documentation or they're asking you for your savings account or they're asking you for things to provide so that they can get you that pre-approval. And in that time, a house that maybe has been sitting on the market or a house that has hit the market, whatever, is either going to have an offer, has multiple offers, or has sold in that amount of time. Because that is how it works every single time by the time you get your pre-approval.
So
you're too late to the game.
I'd probably say 90% of the listeners are asking, why is Jamie out there showing houses when they're not even approved?
I know. I feel absolutely guilty about that. And half the time it's genuinely, I think there's a couple reasons that I show a couple of houses. A, because normally I have multiple clients. So I'm going to that house to look at, like, is this going to be a right fit?
More than one client's fit.
Right. Because
yeah, I've
you
done
know,
that too.
I have probably six clients right now that aren't
in
state.
The same thing.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, oh, I need to go get eyes on this to see if this is going to be the right fit. Because a lot of things, we do a good job, I think, as realtors taking photographs. But when you're in that house, you can see a lot of things like, I just saw a house on, I think it was Redpoll. It is stunning.
Redfin?
No.
Redpoll?
I think it's
Redpoll.
Okay.
It's one of the birds.
Yes, it's stunning. And the pictures were good, but in person, it just was so much better.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I just like the size of it. I like the way it looked, everything about it. And so there are a lot of houses that you see, what you really have to see them in person. The pictures just don't do it justice. And mm-hmm. it really checks a lot of lists where you're like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what my client is looking for. And so I have to resend them, or I have to take video. I have to do the selling versus just some of the photographs don't do. Or they're looking, we don't put a lot of garage pictures on. We don't put some of the pictures of things that we're looking for. So
the other reason Jamie might not show, might look at a property with somebody not peer approved is they might just want to meet them first, face to face.
So and that as well.
I've done that plenty of times too. Maybe you want to meet each other. Maybe you don't want to work with each other because you both think each other are crazy.
Yeah.
But it's possible. You just want to meet the person and see. Learn a little bit more about them, find out if they're being realistic, and then just meet face-to-face and build a rapport, and then say, hey, you know what? Great. We've started. I know what you want now. We basically did our buyer consultation on the spot there at the house. Time to go get pre-approved.
Yep.
And then I have a real quick note. One of the things you maybe want to ask your lender, to Jamie's point, is are they able to do updated pre-approval letters over the weekend? Just because of how our market is right now, and you might need a very specific pre-approval for an offer that's going in on a Saturday and you're competing, and if your lender only works generally during the Monday through Friday option, it's just something you need to be aware of, because there's a number of lenders out there that will get you a new updated pre-approval on Saturday and Sunday, but not all lenders will. So it's something you just need to know going into the market and how we are still competing a lot of options, and you could lose out just because your lender isn't able to allow you the flexibility you need in this market.
Right.
Yep. So true. It didn't happen to us because we
had our stuff.
We had our stuff, but yeah, there's lenders out there that don't work on the weekend, and you know that maybe they have family and they just
they have a life.
They have a life.
Unlike some of us here,
hunting or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, it's a thing. So just be ready ahead of time.
Yes. So please, if you have not gotten pre-approved, go get pre-approved.
So the next thing we're going to talk about, which is sort of something I think would be great for our market, because we're seeing a lot of movement in the condo market, is buying a condo and buying a house are not identical processes and not exactly the same thing. And there's things that you need to go into with your eyes wide open so you make a proper choice of a condo situation is best for you. And what would be the first one you would do, Kirk?
I'd like to get my hands on the what's the rule? I'm not a condo aficionado, but the rules and regs,
the resale certificate?
Resale certificate that has everything.
Well, I guess that would be in there.
Everything would be in there.
Yeah, so the resale certificate has, and that's not what I was looking for, but what's the regulations
condo
called?
Condo association, the HOA rules.
The rules, yes. I guess, can I have a dog, can I have a 50-pound dog, a 100-pound dog, no dog?
Right.
I want to look at that stuff before I go put an offer in.
Can I have decorations on my deck? Can I have flower pots that hang up? I mean, you really, with condos, you need to read.
More importantly, the financials. I don't want to say burned, but early on in my career, we had a guy buy a condo, and all of a sudden that condo fees went up 100, 200, kept going up.
Back to back.
Because we didn't look at the health of the condo association, and they were weak. And there was a lot of deferred maintenance. It needed siding, painting. It needed roofs. It needed fences. It just wasn't healthy. Plus, you know, the heating fuel. So it just wasn't a good situation. So you really need to look at the health of the condo association before you get too far into it.
With condos, a lot of your costs are tied in all together with every other unit. So it's just something you need to understand. If you're sharing fuel with everyone, and let's say they're not the best around you, you're paying for them not being the best with their fuel.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, there's a myth I want to talk about.
Yeah.
The myth is you should never offer.
Kirk just tried to use visuals on the radio again.
I was showing you guys that there's what I wanted to talk about next. So the. Look, so what do you guys think about never putting in a full price offer?
Well, I think in this day and age, you're seeing competing still. So it's up here. That is not a myth. You a full price offer is common up here. And I also think, and I think you've already touched on this dealing with some of your clients, that making a really off-the-hip lowball offer can really put off sellers, because they could be emotionally attached to this house, and then you're telling them it's not worth what you say it's worth, and that upsets
them. It's just a matter of doing your homework. If the market's been on the house has been on the market for 6 years, and it's, you know, it needs to be burned down, then, you know, they're probably not going to get a full price offer. But if the house just hit the market and it's beautiful and it's probably going to have 15 offers on it, then that's the other side of the spectrum. So it's just case by case. But in generally, the seller's market, you're going to be offering full price or more in our market. I think it's, what, 98% list price
we're
to sales price.
So still.
It's been like that for 20 years, and we're still in a seller's market. So it's you got to be prepared to offer full price.
Well, and one of the things you can ask your real estate professional when you're seeing a property is, how many showings have you seen? Because anyone that's using showing time can look back and see how many showings, and that's a good indicator of how much energy that property has received, especially if it's early on in the market. Maybe it's been 3 days, but you only see two showings. But if you look back on another property, it's been 3 days, and they've done like 15 showings. Your realtor can explain to you what that means, and most likely it's going to be a competitive offer situation and so forth. So it's a little indicator of what's going on with the property.
And like the one we did on Saturday, I think the list price was $430. I did a market analysis for the buyer to let them know. And I did a full one, just like if I were to list a house. And I did a full-fledged one, and it came up to $425 and some change. So if I were listing the house, I would have listed it between $420 and $430. So it was definitely in my spectrum of the comparables that I had and what I felt comfortable with. So I told him it seemed like a solid number. Solidly priced. And so that helped him think about what position he wanted to start at, and do I come in at full price? Can I come in at less of full price?
Right.
And then we ended up competing, so it helped him there already to understand where he was comfortable going up to. So it was just the right thing to do for this buyer.
Yeah, and I think it's just more and more common to have that full delve in market analysis done on the offer side, especially going into, most likely we had a vibe that it was going to be a competing offer situation even before being told. So it was just nice having those ducks in a row so you can make an intelligent decision for what's right for you and your family.
How about this myth? Buying a home is always a better deal than renting.
Well,
anybody?
Jamie, you take this hard one.
I mean, I think, yes, I think it's great to invest in yourself and buy a home. If you can afford to do that, I think that, I mean, what you're paying in rent is right now, based on what is at the market, you're paying a mortgage.
Oh, easily.
And every time I look on, you know, Facebook Marketplace or wherever, you know, there's a new posting for a rental, it is absolute, and some of my friends that are renting, it's absolutely shocking what they're paying for rent. And I mean, my hat's off to renters right now, what they have to be making. But I just think if you're able to invest in yourself, even if you can invest in a property that maybe isn't your dream home or your dream place, when you can save up or put enough equity into it to then get equity to purchase what you want and then use it as your own rental, I think that that's fantastic.
Yep.
But you also have to look how long you're going to be in our community, because
yes,
we do have people coming and going, and your real estate professionals should be able to explain and show you rent versus buy and where that break even is for you and where it makes financial sense to get into the home ownership, or it makes more sense to hold back just because you might not recoup everything in the time
Correct.
Frame you're going to be here.
Yeah. Nope, that all makes sense.
Yep. So yeah, we have an awesome rent versus buy program. I'm a math guy, so it's black and white to me. You sit down and you run all the numbers with what you would be getting if it was sitting in a, what kind of market, Lisa, would you be putting your money into if it was just sitting in cash?
The stock market.
The stock market. or the bank or mutual funds. So like, so you get, what, you're getting 10, 11, 12% there?
Right now we're back up at a 10 to 11 on the stock market. But then there's other securities that are going way up too. So there's a lot of options.
And we plug all that money, if it were sitting in there, yep, versus going into a house. We just plug and chug all the numbers and it says, hey, you need to you should buy a house, but you need to live in it 3 years to break even.
Right.
So there's math there.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And Jamie, if someone needs to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can just call Maynard and Napolsky and we'll be there. But otherwise, yeah, 907-378-2400, or come to our office located on 600
3rd Street. Right,
yes,
down from the Chowder House.
Just look for the beautiful orange sign.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go out and enjoy your Saturday and stay tuned for The Buzz.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, a Last Frontier Mediactive production.